This is a message from sponsor Intuit TurboTax. Taxes was getting frustrated by your forms. Now Taxes is uploading your forms with a snap, and a TurboTax expert will do your taxes for you. One who's backed by the latest tech, which cross-checks millions of data points for absolute accuracy, all of which makes it easy for you to get the most money back guaranteed. Get an expert now on TurboTax.com. Only available with TurboTax Live Full Service. See guarantee details at TurboTax.com/guarantees.
It's time to have your high five moment with High Five Casino, the top social casino where the action and real prizes never stop. Fun spins and big wins are right at your fingertips with over 1,000 games, including High Five Casino exclusives. High Five Casino is always free to play with free coins given out every 4 hours. Sign up today for a free welcome offer that can get you spinning and winning right away. Visit highfivecasino.com.
High Five Casino.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. Must be 21 years or older. Terms and conditions apply.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
It is the time of the week where we dissect the stories that have hit the headlines, and we have to talk about the big political story in this country, the ongoing controversy over speaking rights and the Ceann Comhairle. We're also going to talk about apartments, and if we have time, we're going to get through to Donald Trump's cabinet's basic use of messaging apps to give away state secrets. Maeve O'Connell is the Fine Gael TD for Dublin Rathdown. Ona Brin is the Sinn Féin TD for Dublin
Midwest.
There you go, as spokesperson housing. And Lorcan Nine isn't a TD at all, but he is the head of training at the Communications Clinic and columnist with the Sunday Independent. It is lovely to have you all in studio, and I'd like to happily report that they were all getting on famously outside before they came into the studio. So let's see how the next 20 minutes or so goes. Ona Brin, I'm going to start with you. Did the Dáil cover itself in glory this week?
No, I don't think it did. And I think anybody looking in would see the scenes as incredibly unedifying. But our view, as we've stated repeatedly, is responsibility for this rests squarely with the government, and particularly with the Taoiseach. Like, I've been in the Oireachtas now between being a staffer and a TD for about 15 years. I have never seen a government, particularly a Taoiseach, treat both the opposition and the standard rules and procedures of the Dáil with such utter contempt. I've also never seen a Ceann Comhairle behave in the way in which the Ceann Comhairle has done this week. And we can get into the detail of that. And it would be different if it was just one party, if it was just Sinn Féin rearing up or just the People for Profit. But you can see the entire opposition, Labour, Sock Dems, Sinn Féin, Independents, and the smaller left-wing parties, are all saying the same thing, which is the grubby deal that was done between Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael and the Lowry Group is coming at an enormous cost. We saw the Ceann Comhairle's position, for example, being used as a kind of a bargaining chip for government formation. The only piece of legislation this Oireachtas has passed is one that created extra junior ministers, extra super junior ministers, none of which we need, but at great expense to the taxpayer. And there's this appalling attempt by the government to decide who is in the opposition.
Okay.
And even though the legal advice to the Ceann Comhairle's office was they couldn't do it, they're still trying to, and effectively with the collusion of the Ceann Comhairle, rammed it through, which is why I think you saw such levels of anger and frustration. Nobody wants to behave like that on the floor of the Dáil, but also why the entire opposition has now been left in a position where we're tabling a motion of no confidence in the Ceann Comhairle because she has essentially demonstrated that she's not independent, she's not representing and defending the interest of all
in your opinion.
In our opinion, absolutely. And that she is simply working in collusion with the government to ride roughshod over long established principles over what defines opposition and what defines the government.
A 2-minute synopsis of where we're at in a less shouty way than perhaps we've had earlier in the week. But Maeve O'Connell, you disagree with presumably all of that.
I absolutely do. I mean, this is a dispute, and that's fine. I mean, of course you're going to have disputes, but all disputes come to an end. And solutions have been put on the table. The extra speaking time has been provided and accepted. But there's actually no real intent to solve this problem. And I fail to see, Owen, how you shouting across each other, as you did in the benches this week, actually moves us towards a solution, which is what we're willing to do. So I would like to know how that helped at all.
How did it help, Owen?
Well, the problem is that a number of weeks ago, when the government first attempted to introduce this proposal, the Ceann Comhairle made a very, very important ruling, which is can't be in opposition and government at the same time. And the rules of the Dáil reflect that. The government then made a commitment on the floor of the Dáil. The government chief whip said that they'll set up a special committee and we will reach a conclusion that is satisfactory to both government and opposition. Then the government came forward with a set of proposals which weren't acceptable to anybody in the opposition. And both collectively and individually, all of the parties in the opposition repeatedly reached out, in particular to the Taoiseach, to try and resolve the matter. And he was simply unwilling to do it. So there has been, in our view, no evidence that the government is willing to resolve this in a way that meets both sides. And so we have disputes all the time, right?
Can I find out? So you didn't get your way. So therefore, you disrupted the Oireachtas to the point this week that nothing has been really achieved since this Oireachtas sat. I mean, and I have to say it to you, Eoin Brin, a man who loves a good committee, is good in committees, and that is where real power is exercised by the Oireachtas. Not a single committee has sat because of the shenanigans that have been going on. So
yeah, and Sinn Féin hasn't put forward any legislation, no bills at all. So they're talking endlessly about how they want
to... We introduced a piece of legislation yesterday, myself and Mary Lou MacDonald.
The first piece
of legislation.
After how many days on the Dáil? And how many hours of speaking on? And it's your first piece?
Absolutely. And there will be plenty more pieces of legislation to go. But ultimately, because, for example, in the last Oireachtas, I probably submitted more legislation than almost any other TD. And even those bills that pass second stage, the government blocked progressing through the committee.
But back to the point, what did we achieve?
Here's the key point. See, of course, we have lots of disagreements. And of course, ultimately, you resolve those disagreements by way of votes. That's the ordinary procedure. But the rules of the House should command the support of both sides of the House. The rules of the House are fundamentally different, as is the position of the Crown Court. And all of the opposition parties tabled concrete proposals. We also tabled amendments. And the difficulty is there was no willingness by government to support or to consider any of that. Mm. And all of this centres around a very simple question. Michael Lowry, a man who has been found by a tribunal of inquiry to have had corrupt interventions.
He's still returned by the people of Tipperary time and time again.
That's fine, and they have the right to do that. But in
but
order for this government...
In order for this
government to be formed, Michael Lowry set a price in terms of Verona Murphy in chair, extra junior ministers and super junior ministers at the cost of the taxpayer, and a desire to be in government and opposition. And the real question is, what on earth has Michael Lowry got on Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, and particularly Micheál Martin, that he's willing to die in a ditch?
I've got to give Maeve an answer to respond to
when
that.
When it's causing so much difficulty,
Lowry
so much delay.
This is a deal with the independent group, and this is the new way of the world. For the last number of years and for the foreseeable future, it's going to be coalition governments. And every time this is negotiated, the rules are changed. It wasn't the last Dáil and the Dáil before this. It's being changed now and it'll be changed forward into the future. So this is not something about the here and now. This is about how we do business overall.
Okay.
And today, it's a negotiation for people who want to support a government, who want to form a government while still delivering on their mandate. And today it's with the independent group. Tomorrow could be the Sóc Dem supporting Sinn Féin.
Okay. And Lorcan, can I just come to you? Lorcan 9. For me, right, and I'm an outsider, I don't attend Leinster House anymore, thank God. This looks like the opposition won a battle but cannot concede the war and are willing to keep fighting and fighting and fighting on this, much to the bemusement and frustration of those who are not within the political bubble.
Yeah, I think that there's a couple of things that have been revealed over the last number of days. I think up until now, issues like this that are quite complex or quite full of technicalities, for most people, it's who has the simpler story. And I think up until now, the opposition story was quite simple. You can't be in government and opposition at the same time.
They proved their own point, I think. It's fair to say.
And I do think now it is shifting slightly. Even the questioning in interviews during the week has shifted slightly towards, you were right, but we just need to move on and we just need to get out of it. That's becoming the slightly simpler story. That remains to be seen what will happen over the next couple of days. I think what has also been revealed is that this Dáil is going to be different in that we have a more kind of strong, stable, cohesive and therefore more obstinate government or coalition than we've had previously. Previously, we've had a obvious junior, maybe coalition partner in coalitions.
Don't be calling out the Greens like that.
but somebody who could be pressured. You know, that came from a different political tradition and therefore could be pressured. So the no confidence motion in the Ceann Comhairle, the no confidence motion in 2009 that went down on the Fianna Fáil Ceann Comhairle, the Green Party was able to say, no, we're not backing that, therefore he's going to have to go. Because the government are a bit more, aligned this time, that there is no pressure to be put on, it's more interesting to see what the opposition do. And that, I think, has led to a more aligned opposition this time as well, where you'd see in the interviews around this issue, the alignment is something that a political party by themselves would be happy with in terms of the talking points that are coming out, the meetings that are happening. So it is going to be a very, very different Dáil. And it's going to be interesting to see how people operate in that new dynamic.
But they have to work within that dynamic as well. And speaking to people who come from all walks of life, the frustration levels this week at the roaring and shouting that went on, and was it Tuesday when the Dáil first came back together? Everyone just went, oh my God, what are they doing? We're looking at Trump tariffs. We're looking at, you know, all the challenges that the state face. And here are our politicians who we sent there to do our job making a show.
Yeah, I don't think anybody anywhere is happy with the situation. The battle now is on who's getting the blame. You know, who are the public deciding? Is it the opposition digging in too far? They have crossed their Rubicon and they won't go back. Or is it the government who, because of the initial decision? So it's who people are going to blame. And right, John, this is cutting through. I mean, look, in my day job, you know, I tend to be out training people all the time. So 50, 60 people a week. Most people never reference politics. It doesn't come up. They wouldn't know a Dáil committee. They wouldn't know the name of one.
This week.
The shouting came up and the Lowry picture really cut through. So those two people might not even know the full background. They might not even know that the Dáil hasn't been, you know, fully working through legislation. But those two moments have really cut through. And I'm always looking for what's cutting through. And things rarely actually do into the public consciousness outside of people who listen to shows like this.
Bored and flutes like ourselves. Is that what you're trying to say?
100%,
yeah. If I can come to you, is Fiona Murphy's position tenable? Because, I mean, she has been made the centre of this storm. Surprised many when she was nominated for Ceann Comhairle, but got the votes at the end of the day and there was agreement reached to put her into the role. Given everything that has gone on, can she realistically be Ceann Comhairle of this Dáil for the next 5 years?
I have full confidence in Fiona Murphy. She's an experienced parliamentarian and is well able to manage the situation. These are unprecedented behaviours that she saw.
With due respect, she hasn't been able to manage
this,
it. But I know
this was unprecedented what we saw this week. I mean, I was talking to experienced parliamentarians and they were saying to me that they'd never seen anything like this before. And those of us who were newly elected, like myself, were all comparing notes about all the places we worked. I've worked in public and private, large businesses, small businesses. This is behaviour that would not have been tolerated in any of them. So it is completely unacceptable, and that does not lie with Fiona Murphy. That lies with the opposition, who were shouting over each other at Fiona Murphy. None of us could hear it. And I look forward to a motion of confidence passing in Fiona Murphy next week. And what I'm interested in seeing then is when Sinn Féin lose that vote, are they again going to stand up and shout because they didn't get their way? Are they going to start adopting these bully boy tactics, which we've seen with populists around the world, in order to get their way, which is silencing people and is hardly supporting democracy, which is what they claim they're trying to do.
You are technically on a hiding to nothing with this, because the government has the votes, clearly has the votes. Fiona Murphy will stay as Ceann Comhairle unless she decides, and we don't expect this to fall on her own sword. So what's next for you? You can't do another vote in all confidence.
You can't, and the rules don't allow it. But this is a different kind of vote to vote in no confidence in a minister, because there had been a series of votes of no confidence in ministers, justice ministers, housing ministers in particular, over the last two Dáils, and the government has the numbers.
So you're expecting a couple of TDs to fall out of line with the government?
The Ceann Comhairle's position is fundamentally different. The Ceann Comhairle has to have the confidence of both sides of the House to do their job. And therefore, it's all very well, Maeve, saying that the government will support Fiona. We know they will do, because, of course, Fiona was put there by the government and she'll do the government's bidding. She's shown that very clearly this week.
She was democratically elected by the Dáil.
She was, but her job, Maeve, is to protect the interests of all members of the Dáil, not to be a plaything of the government. That's essentially what
is
has
anyone saying she's
happened.
Not protecting the interests of the opposition here just because she's not doing what she'd want her to do?
No, it's not that she's not doing what we want her to do. She's not fulfilling her role properly. So, for example, if you look at the events of Tuesday, for example, there are three clear breaches of ordinary rules of procedure by the Ceann Comhairle in terms of the way in which the votes were taken, in clear breach and, in fact, outside of the rules of the Oireachtas. And that was done because the sole intention of government and the Ceann Comhairle was to ram through wholly unacceptable changes
again,
to the rules.
But that is your opinion.
Of course, and I'm invited on this show to give my opinion.
Legal opinions are like everyone has a you-know-what, and that means everybody has an opinion.
That's fine.
Your opinion may not be
but
right.
Let's look forward to next week. What are you going to do if you lose the vote next week?
We will respect the outcome of the vote, as we have done with every other no-confidence motion. But here's the real question. The real question is, how does Verona Murphy then continue when the entire opposition has said we do not have confidence in her?
Will you make her life difficult if that's the case?
The intention isn't to make Verona's life or anybody's life difficult. We want Verona to do the job she is constitutionally obliged to do, which is protect the interests of all members of the Dáil and allow it to function properly. Having said all of that, right, let's also be clear. We are holding this government to account. We are engaging in scrutiny. We had the Minister for Housing, for example, up for questions only last week. We do want, and we'll work with the Clerk of the Dáil to set up the committees and undertake that work. But there's a really fundamental question which Maeve and the government are ignoring. How is it going to be possible for the Dáil to function properly if the key person whose job is meant to manage the business of the Dáil and protect all deputies is a plaything of the government and will do the government's bidding rather than defend the interests of all TDs. And the opposition is united on this. This has never happened before. The only thing I agree with Maeve is it is unprecedented. But the bully boy tactics are the bully boy tactics of the government. It is the arrogance of Micheál Martin and the government pushing this through the Dáil that has caused this problem
before
in the first place.
Before this descends into the kind of conversation that has frustrated people everywhere this week, I've got to move on. Lorcan, let's talk about the great thing about having neighbours is that you can look over the fence and revel in the fact that it's a little bit madder over there than it is over here. We had it with our friends to the east for Brexit, and now our friends to the west have lost the run of themselves. The whole Signal thing. Now, no one in Ireland uses Signal, apart from some who probably we wouldn't want to be friends with. But what happened here was unprecedented. You had state secrets being leaked to a journalist who was accidentally added to a group. I mean, it's manna from heaven for the journalist.
Yeah. I think a lot of journalists use Signal, so I'm not sure if you're referring to them that you won't be friends with them, Jonathan.
No, but, the people that they'd be watching. I was not referring to.
So look, people will be aware of the story that the American foreign policy, the strikes on the Houthis designed to stop obstruction in the Suez Canal.
Which, by the way, very few people would have even known about until this came out.
Well, and it was basically, there was a discussion set up on Signal, a messaging app that is slightly more encrypted than a normal one, but not absolutely fully secure, was set up. You had the vice president in it, you had the defence secretary in it, you had the chief security advisor in it. They were talking away. That by itself is probably an issue, and that they shouldn't have been sharing things on the app, where it became obviously very, very problematic, let's say, is when they accidentally added a journalist to it, Jeffrey Goldberg from The Atlantic, a chief critic of Trump. So he was added into it, was there for
Elon Musk is trying to find out how he was added, which I thought was a lovely touch that they brought in him into the conversation. But Hegseworth, who's the defence secretary, wholly unsuitable for the role by the looks of it. I mean, he was the guy who really did the damage here, but he was the fellow who came out and tried to gaslight us all and to say it didn't happen.
Well, he came out and basically said that there was nothing that was confidential. There was no national security issues in what was shared there, which then obviously gave permission for The Atlantic to release what was in it, because they said, sure, if it's not classified, well, therefore
sure
we can release it.
Would have been delighted to get information on
basically
it.
Well, what was shared within it, that what was obviously sensitive information, was the timings of the strike. So they were actually kind of live, almost blogging, chatting about it, and he shared the timings of it. I do generally think it's fascinating, because it's given us the kind of insight that normally you have to wait until, you know, archives are released 30 years later to see the relationships there. It's given us huge insight into relationships. J.D. Vance quite clearly positioned himself as the brains behind the operation. He talks about how the president isn't understanding how this strike will actually go against his interests, and maybe we need to make it clear to him. You know, you're getting real insight into how he sees himself. You're getting real insight into their absolute disdain for Europe, that's not just public posturing. They have real disdain for Europe, not just for their intent in terms of defence, but actually their capabilities. Because they talk about how Europe just can't do this. They can't do the strikes we need. And so it's genuinely fascinating. Yes, it's almost funny, the incompetence of it, to add in a journalist to the Signal group. But the insights from it are fascinating.
No, absolutely. There's more than bluster in this administration. But Maeve, it also goes to the court that these are not serious people. These are the government of the United States. And the way that they're interacting with each other, does it mean that we should have less respect for them because of the way they engage with each other?
It's the United States, and it's a fascinating administration. That certainly is true. But they're the people we have to deal with. And I think it's been actually, as was pointed out by Lorcan, very insightful to see what they really think. The unvarnished truth. And anybody who was thinking that these are not serious people and that they're not going to follow through with any of their threats, I think we've gotten an insight into how we need to take this very, very seriously. And I think it's one of the reasons why Pascal, when he was on primetime last night, and we all woke up to the snippet this morning, which was taken out of context, seemed very terrifying about the tariffs coming down.
Pascal can't be terrifying. It's yes, not Pascal, nature, is it?
Yes, but Pascal is very calm and very terrifying at the same time, which makes it more terrifying, I think. And that highlighted how serious that is. You put that in context, you know, that these are real threats and these are coming from people who really do mean it. And it's something that we have to take seriously moving forward.
Owen O'Brien, does everybody have to rethink about the groups that they're in? Because obviously political parties are not immune to having WhatsApp groups. And we've seen them being leaked to great damage in the UK. It hasn't happened too much over here. But is it giving everyone pause for thought about what they're saying in these WhatsApp groups?
I think that the more salient point is that, first of all, it shows a huge level of incompetence. It seems that the people in that chat didn't realise that the last time the US bombed the Houthis, they did so with the British and with the French. They were active participants in that. It also does confirm, and I do agree with Maeve, that these people are very serious, and we should take that very, very, very seriously, because there are jobs on the line. There is investment on the line. There is economic stability on the line. And I'm not convinced, while very clearly the Trump administration is the belligerent in this proposed trade war, I'm not convinced that the European Union adopting as its initial position the threat of counter-tariffs is the most sensible approach. This is a time for cool heads. There is too much at stake. Obviously, this particular leak was in relation to the ongoing war in the Middle East. But what it shows is that wider set of challenges. Because, you know, we had Micheál Martin over in the White House. Some people thought he did a great job and represented Ireland well, and it was a good diplomatic intervention. But the following day, Trump announced some of the tariffs that are going to have a significant impact on our own industrial and economic base.
The way I put it earlier on, Owen, was saying, he's like an abuser, saying, I'm not going to hit you, and then promptly hits you. And that's just the nature of it. Folks, that is all we have time for. My thanks to Maeve O'Connell of Fine Gael, Owen O'Brien of Sinn Féin, and Lorcan Nyhan of the Sunday Independent and the Communications Clinic. Thank you.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.
This is a message from sponsor Intuit TurboTax. Taxes was getting frustrated by your forms. Now Taxes is uploading your forms with a snap, and a TurboTax expert will do your taxes for you. One who's backed by the latest tech, which cross-checks millions of data points for absolute accuracy, all of which makes it easy for you to get the most money back guaranteed. Get an expert now on TurboTax.com. Only available with TurboTax Live Full Service. See guarantee details at TurboTax.com/guarantees.